So in the interest of time, I will skip most of my introduction because Ari and Sasha already motivated quite nicely why we want to have a precision W mass measurement and sensitivity effective measurement. So I just go right away to this slide because you've seen it already, but I just want to point out because it's so beautiful and impressive where we are right now. So we know that we can extract a W mass just by fitting to all our electric precision observables, for instance, Siebel observables and so on. Assuming the standard model is correct, we can perform these chi-squared fits like Jupiter does, and then can determine this. This is what I would call here in an indirect measurement from this fit on these electric precision observables, and then have an error of 8 MeV on this measurement. And then, of course, this gets then confronted with the experimental direct measurement. So this is the W mass extracted from the transverse mass distribution of the W of the tevatron combined with the lab measurement of 15 MeV. So this is just to, if you really want to stress test the standard model using this measurement, so that these two errors should be about the same size, or the experimental error should be very close to this to really see, are we still consistent, or is there really a tension and a place for new physics when comparing this to determination of the W mass. So with better input, for instance, from the top mass in the electric precision fields, these fit results on the W mass can even improve more in the near future. And then similarly, I mean, for the effective heat mixing angle, from the fit result, we get a 7 MeV, 7 times 10 minus 5 error. And then this is what Ari showed us with the lab measurement. So these
8 MeV is the top mass as an external input, or is it fit?
No. Everything is fixed, so the top mass is put in, the measured top mass.
So it's externally.
It's external, and only the W mass is left as a free body. Then you get this as your result.
If I take the top mass float, what do you get?
We can look at the G-Fitter paper where they do these exercises. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is just as a guidance where we want to be with our W mass measurement as a stress test of the standard model and to see is the place for new physics. And And then, of course, we can compare this measurement we have either indirectly from electric precision observers or directly with a standard model prediction. And the standard model prediction for the W mass comes from our famous relation between G mu, the Fermi constant, and alpha, and the W and the Z mass, and the higher order corrections to muon decay parameterized by delta R. And these observables are calculated at very high order, so they go up to partial three-loop corrections to delta R, for instance, and for sine squared theta, we have to go to two-loop corrections to the Z to fermion decay, and then these higher-order corrections are parameterized in a nice way, like this, for instance, in these papers, so we can study parametric uncertainties in the standard model prediction. And again, the top mass is important, and the Higgs mass also enters is now a parametric uncertainty in the standard model prediction. And then you can see, OK, what are the uncertainties in here? It's again the 7.6 error on the W mass right now from predicting the W mass from theory. And sensitivity effective here is the error right now, and where we can be in the future when decreasing, for instance, the top mass or other uncertain inputs like alpha atomic and so on. So this is.
How get down from 4 to 1, missing higher order? This means
missing higher order. Okay, then you have to do these kind of corrections, three-loop corrections of order alpha squared, alpha s. So these are corrections to delta r. Right. So this is work. I mean, there is still focus and.
This assumes this.
This assumes that you, okay, the known higher order correction from the calculation of the known higher order corrections, people like Iris Feiters et al.
Full two loop electrode.
Yes. Not just for delta r, right? We don't have full two loop for 2-2-2 process. So this is what is, so they estimated right now with the existing calculation for missing three loop, the uncertainty is for MEV. If you want to improve on this, you have to do better. You have to include the missing three loop corrections. And then you can get, that's what the future is, going from 4 to 1. You have to calculate these missing three loop corrections. Of course, that only matters if we get the W, the direct measurement of the W mass at a precision of, if you ever have to worry about 4 MeV uncertainties. Right now, this is not a limitation. But just to show you what it takes, if you want to go from 8 MeV theory error theory prediction to 4 MeV. So higher order corrections, parametric uncertainties, all of these things have to be. Okay, so this is of course in view of how do we use these measurements of the WMS and the weak mixing in to stress test the standard model. And as was already pointed out, I'm not going over this in detail because we already talked about this. In the direct measurement of the W mass, we have to worry about the PDF uncertainties. So there, work is of course going on right now to understand, first of all, what is really the PDF uncertainty in the W mass measurement, and then improving it down to 5 MeV for the Teverton measurement, or getting it at a 10 MeV level for the LHC measurement. That's the challenge. Assuming that all the other theory uncertainties in the modeling of the underlying observables are under control, this is the really the limiting factor. So we need also new ideas how we can reduce the PDF uncertainties in the W mass measurement. And as we just heard from Ari, also in science visita effective measurement. And there are some ideas, and John advertised, since we already mentioned it, that there is a study on how LHCb measurement of forward muons can help. And in this paper, they show that they can get an improvement of 30% in NW using the LHCpt of the lepton measurement. So that is definitely, so keep this in mind when I now switch to talking about the theory uncertainties and the prediction for the transverse mass or PT of the lepton or QT of the vector boson. All these issues matter only if we get really the PDF uncertainty under control. So that is the limiting factor right now. Okay. So and just to show you that there is still work ongoing in actually what we can learn about this W precision W mass measurement, not just testing the standard model, but also getting information about beyond the standard model. I mean, you know, long-standing work has been done on calculating the higher order MSSM corrections, but this is now also extended to NMSSM corrections to the W mass, and then you can see this is the error right now. These are two prediction, MSSM and NMSSM. And then if you shrink this error bar, this is for 15 MeV error right now, you can get additional information about different models distinguishing between MSSM and NMSSM. So this is just to remind you that there's a lot of work going on in this field as well. So let me turn to the theory predictions. So first, let me talk a little bit about electroweak corrections to Trillian processes. And electroweak corrections turn out to be very important in electroweak precision physics, of course, also at the LHC, everywhere where we have W and Z bosons, especially also in Trillian. And so I just want to point out that for the measurement of the W mass, so the dominant contributions that shape, have an impact on the shape on the transverse mass distribution of PT of the lepton are coming from finite state photon radiation of the lepton from W and from the W decay. And those QD corrections are not only available at order alpha, but they're also studied beyond order alpha. So I will say a little bit about this in a moment. So multiple photon radiation is also studied and taken into account on top of weak corrections that are also included in all the state of the art prediction for the W observables and Z observables. And so this is not meant to be read carefully right now, but of course you can go back later on to see what is available. So as you can see, with a precision measurement like this, a lot of theory effort has to go into predicting the underlying observables at the required level of precision. So we have all the state-of-the-art tools should at least have the next-to-leading order accuracy, right? So we have the next-to-leading order electropeak, and you have the next-to-leading order QCD, and of course nowadays you want to also have the next-to-next-to-leading order QCD together with the next-to-leading order electropeak, and then add resummation effects that are important for modeling the small QT of the W and the Z. And all these tools are available, so you heard of course, some of these tools already mentioned in the previous talks. And then now, what we're working on now is to have a consistent combination of all these different corrections. So we have QED, higher order multiple photo radiation, we have electroweak corrections, we have NNLO QCD fixed order, we have soft gluon resummation, NMLL accuracy, different in analytic formulation, pattern shower formulation. We put this all consistently together to provide the best tool. And once we have the best tool, we have to, of course, control the theoretical uncertainties. So that is what we're understanding right now, using the best tools, comparing different implementation of all these different higher order corrections, and understanding the impact on the extraction of the W mass. So not just looking at the distribution, but also translating what do we see in the distributions, how does it translate as a shift in the W mass, and then getting a realistic picture of the theory uncertainty, and also to see do we need to go beyond what we have right now and what is missing. So this is what we have on the electroweak side. And then, of course, as I already mentioned, lots of work is going on also, on the QCD predictions for the PT, which is especially important for the PT of the lepton, and, of course, the transverse mass of the W and Z boson. And here I want to just highlight recent developments where we now go towards fixed NNLO matched to parton showers. So there are three different approaches right now. First steps towards matching at NNLO level that are available and can be studied. And we have also advances in the analytic resummation. Font DYRES is now available at NNLO QCD with an analytic resummation at NNLL. Accuracy, which then, of course, needs to be compared with the shower resummation, pattern shower resummation. So there are state-of-the-art tools available that now should be used to investigate what is the remaining residual uncertainty in an extraction of the W mass, which is, of course, not easy, to do. This is something that needs to be done carefully. So here is just to remind you what the effects are. So where are the dominant effects coming from? What does the, as Sasha was already saying, we are interested in getting the shape here, the Jacobian peak right of the transverse mass distribution or the PT of the lepton. That's where we have sensitivity to the W mass. And then you see when you include higher order corrections. So here you see the effects of the electroweak correction in percent of the leading order. So blue would be just, you see this very distinct distortion of the shape. So that really is mostly due to QT final state radiation. That has the large effect on the W mass when extracted from this distribution. Then we have, I also want to show you, because I mentioned it already, we worry now not just about order alpha, but also order alpha squared. So this is the effect, this little blip here is the effect of multiple photon radiation, so taking into account in different approaches in leading log approximations, so beyond order alpha, you have these multiple photon radiation, and that little distortion of the shape can result, depending on if you have trace leptons or bare leptons, in a shift of the W mass of 2 to 10 MeV. So if you want to make a measurement at the 15 MeV level or better, you have to control the shape at that level of precision. So this is not even a percent. This is sub per mil level. That's where we are. That's what we have to control at the theory level, not to limit measurement by the theory uncertainty. So then you can imagine, it's not just taking into account all these effects separately, but then combining them consistently and understanding the residual uncertainty from corrections that are not known. Okay, this is just to remind you, since I mentioned it later, different ways of implementing multiple photon radiation. Photon radiation is so important. So there are different tools available, like photos that you can use as a standalone tool and add to your calculation. But then again, you have to be careful what is included in photos. How does it match to your electroweak? You have to do proper matching also for the electroweak sector. Then you have the old structure function approach that just convolutes your cross-section with the structure function with exponentiated soft linear photon radiation. Or you have something like the YFS factor, which is included also, I think, in Sherpa and in Sonsi and Windhag. So you have different tools available to also include multiple photon radiation. But again, it has the matching to existing calculation has to be done carefully. So let me show you now to the more recent results and improvement in these predictions, where we now to combine and get control over mixed QED or electroweak and QCD corrections. So for a long time, there was the QCD community trying to get the best QCD prediction, the electroweak community trying to improve as much as possible. But now, since we've seen that order alpha is so important, NNO QCD is important, so how about order alpha S corrections? So that question, of course, has been around for many years. But now we're getting to the point where we can answer this question, because we have the calculations and the tools available. And one of the first attempts to give an answer about the effect of order alpha S correction, so how do electroweak corrections behave in the presence of QCD radiation? How does it affect your target mass measurement? We implemented fixed order alpha corrections in POHAC. So there are two different ways how to do it. One, the first way we did it is fairly simple. So we just took our NLO calculation and added it to this factor that multiplies the Zudakov factor here. This is the POHAC matching procedure of QCD to the shower. And we just modified here this B-bar factor by including all the electroweak pieces. So where is the mixed order alpha S? Because this is just additive. We're just adding NLO QCD to NLO electroweak. Well, the mixed effect comes because this multiplies now the soft collinear radiation from the shower. So you get some shower effects multiplying your electroweak effect. Just, and then you look, okay, how much does it affect your distributions? Now, there's another implementation in POHAC of electroweak correction based on Horas. And this implementation also does a proper matching of multiple photon you have in your shower, for instance, in Christian and switch on QED radiation, or if you match with photos, which has a multiple photon radiation, it's now properly matched to the electroweak matrix element. So you can include not just order alpha, you can also switch on multiple photon together with the QCD shower and, of course, NLO QCD. So you have basically the photon is treated and the quarks are treated in the same way as the partons in the shower. So that is a more complete description. So now you have QCD and QED parton cascade in your code. So now you can then ask, okay, how much does it matter that you now study electroweak corrections in the presence of the QCD radiation? And as you can expect, observables like this is for the Z case, so the second implementation is also available for Z. So observables like the inert mass that is not so sensitive to QCD radiation are not affected very much by the presence of QCD. So you see, in red, it's just the usual effect of electroweak corrections in percent of waveform. So here you have the Z peak, you have the large, well-known distortion of your inert mass. And then in green is when you now implement this in your POHAC, and you have now all the QCD radiation and the low QCD also presence. So this is how the electron heat correction changed in the presence of all the QCD radiation, not much in the inland mass, but then, of course, as expected, the lepton PT, if you have just the electron heat corrections alone or the electron heat corrections in the presence of having Pythia switched on and multiple photons is matched, so this is the best prediction. That is how much now the PT of the lepton is distorted by high order corrections. So very different.
Dorian, is there the effect just of electroweak? Because every
yeah.
program has QED.
Electroweak, order alpha. Or QED multiple.
That means you also include the QED.
Yes.
But
of course.
Usually the previous versions only had the QED.
Which versions?
The current version of Fourier without electroweak always has photos QED.
You can always switch on photos. Yeah. You always have FSR, so they are also comparison with photos.
So my question is, how much extra above just photos do you get when you put in the electroweak?
That you, I can give you. So we studied this also. It's. I can give you an answer maybe later when I can show you the plots.
Okay.
How much the pure weak corrections change? Of course, they are much smaller. So there are. I can show you maybe depending on the setup a few MeV. So it's small.
The ratio.
Oh, for the Z.
Yeah.
For the inland mass.
Yeah.
I have to check. I have to look in my old paper to show you. But you always, yeah, but you always can have photos alone, and then you get FSR order alpha. But for the position we are aiming, we're always aiming for or having the full order alpha. Okay, so then now for the W, it's the same feature. So you see the transverse mass of the W. So the red one is, again, let me see which one is which. The green is the one where you just look at the electroweak effects alone. Is percentage of worn, so that was what I showed you before. And the red is now when you turn on all the QCD corrections as implemented in POHAC, switch on the shower, and you also have multiple photon radiation turned on through the photons. So all these tools are combined to give you the best prediction at NL QCD plus shower, NL low electroweak plus multiple photon. And then here you see the effect. Of course, as expected, that you have this mirroring out of the large electroweak effects when you have now the QCD radiation present. So the next question is, of course, how does this shift the W mass? What's the effect on the W mass when you extract it from PT or for the transverse mass? And then to get, if you take this as your best tool, the next question beyond that is, what is the theory uncertainty? So what do you attach as a systematic theory uncertainty? What is missing here? And how do you estimate the missing effects? And of course, what is missing here is that we have now next to leading order QCD. And thanks to some of the experts in the room, also matched to a shower. So now we can compare this with the next to leading order. And we also have now an analytic calculation of order alpha alpha S effects. So that we can check these effects that we see here, which are just QCD shower times electroweak, against an analytic calculation of order alpha alpha S corrections. Okay, so, and this analytic calculation is just came up recently. So there, what they did is they looked at W and Z trillions, and they calculated the virtual, the order alpha alpha S, so when you, for instance, have an electroweak boson, modifying your vertex and the gluon, so you have union two-loop corrections here. And they did this in the pole approximation, because in first approximation we're interested in what happens around the resonance. That's where we do the measurement of the W mass. So they expanded the amplitude, so this is something that has been done, is well known since we did next leading order calculation, so they used the same idea here. Expanding the amplitude in a term that is factorizable, so you can write the corrections separately for production and decay, so you don't have any interference effects here. So these are, for instance, factorizable initial corrections, factorizable initial final, and then final. Then you have a term, these two terms here, that are the so-called non-factorizable corrections. So these terms, these three terms are all relevant, or could be relevant for the resonant region. So they are the resonant contribution, and then you have non-resonant contributions. So these are two-loop contributions where you have a W or a Z in a two-loop box together with a gluon, which are not resonant, so they don't exhibit this Pradwigner structure, and they're usually considered to be small. So what they include in this polar approximation are these, look at these three terms separately. And as we know already from what we know about NLO studies, what you think is the most important effect is initial final, when you have initial QCD corrections and final QED corrections. So that is probably the piece that gives you the largest contribution. And that was confirmed by their studies. So they looked at the non-factorizable corrections, where you can have a soft photon here, for instance. If it's soft, you get, again, a resonant contribution. And they first looked at those contributions. As it turned out, they are negligible. So this is for the transverse mass and the PT of the electron, and just different contributions. So they use the slicing method for QED. So this is Richard and Neil just adding them all. So this is the total. So this is the total correction in percent from the non-factorizable. So that is negligible, which was expected. So that comes from diagrams like these. So but important, what was then interesting is to look into initial final corrections. So that was done here. And then compare it with the approximations we used, where we just, for instance, took a QCD calculation and multiplied it with an electron decay factor. So that was a naive factorization that has been used before to estimate the effects of these mixed alpha-alpha-S corrections. So, and you can use different K factors. You can use just the order alpha corrections to the decay, which are the dominant ones, or you take the full electroweak. So different approximation. We can now study how good they are compared to the full order alpha-alpha-S calculation. And that's what you see here. Again, correction in percent of the Born. So this is now the full order alpha-alpha-S correction for the initial final interference term, initial final correction term, this is red, and so that would be the exact, compared to the two approximations. The blue is when you have a k-factor just with FSR QED, and the green is when you have all the electroweak corrections, and of course this deviates because now the further away you go from resonance, the polar approximation is not good enough anymore, and then you see the effects, for instance, of an electroweak box contribution.
Where does this peak dip come from?
This is
always... at the 65.
This is from the exact, and they have an explanation in the paper. This comes from some kinematic... This is from some order real radiation of the gluon combined with photon. There's some phase-based kinematic effect. We can look at the paper. I don't remember in detail. But they looked into this, of course,
yeah,
because
absolutely.
It looks like a funny kinematic. But it's a kinematic effect from a threshold we can look at. And so now, with this calculation, we can now study what is the remaining uncertainty if you use a factorized equation like this one. In your analysis, and what is the additional shift in the W mass, right? When you're not having all the initial final corrections available, and just use this ansatz here. And then this is accordingly for the PT of the muon.
What order is it gauge invariant?
The polar approximation is gauge invariant. You're asking about the
polar approximation.
Yeah, this is all
on
done.
On shell.
Yes, that's
and you're summing tall orders.
So you see here that is the expansion they're using, and you know this as long as you're on shell here, the residues on shell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know all the discussion. This is what we did at for lab too, right? So
yeah, sure.
this is gauge invariant. So they're looking at this piece, right? So the part that is the factorizable, so that is part of this piece. So you have order alpha corrections here, order QCD corrections here, and put in the production, and in this approximation. So you have to do the polar, you're right, if you don't do the polar approximation, then it's not gauge-invariant. You have to extract the resonant contribution of this diagram. And that's what they do.
What's PVs?
You're all shadow.
Oh, this is the momentum of the, and this is, and this, but here you have a difference. This difference is again gauge moment. This is gauge moment. So it's just, and this is the non-resonant. So you can think of it as a Laurent expansion about the complex pole. And then you have this.
Still doesn't answer the question.
Okay, which part is not gauge moment?
If it's an off shell.
But you have the difference. You're not looking just at this. You're looking at, I should have put brackets around this.
Yeah,
you're looking at this together, right?
So any momentum dependence means that you can ask the question.
Right.
About gauge invariance.
Yes, but you
and
do.
And since you're summing to all orders.
No. Yeah.
Summing to all orders, you have sigma of p squared at the denominator. So it can't, so it's going to be gauge dependent somehow.
I should tell you what the mu squared is. The mu squared is the complex mass.
No.
So the mu squared.
PV squared dependence is where.
Yeah, here. But you don't look at this piece alone.
I know.
So this is really, I can show you, this is really nicely done. We have done this at next to leading order, how to do this carefully, that you don't spoil gauge invariance. You can either use. You can either use the complex mass scheme to do this carefully, or you can how to extract all these different pieces in a resonant region versus non-resonant. You can do a Laurent expansion. I even have a slide of all these. I mean, these are issues that need to be discussed carefully. But this has been discussed at next to leading order, and what they did in this paper is extending it to two-loop order. And they work out nicely how the different pieces, as long as you stick to the resonance region, combined to a term that can be written in this form, even at next to next to leading order. Can I postpone this to the after and show you the
detail? I assume
the
non-gauge invariance is pushed into that end term. That no.
Yeah. So you can
sigma
you
know. PV squared also.
You just separate all the different pieces in resonant and non-resonant. So it's similar to when we do the Laurent expansion about a complex pole, like Gell-Mann did it way back, right? So it's the same idea. And then you have a gauge invariant residue of the complex pole, a gauge invariant non-resonant piece. So you can divide this all in the different pieces in a gauge invariant way. If done correctly, one has to do this carefully. So there are the different approaches how to do this. So this has been worked out, and in what is new in this paper is that this has been extended now to a two-loop order alpha alpha s, which hasn't been done before. Okay, so now with this approximation in mind, it is an approximation, right? It's a pole expansion, and it's just looking at one piece, which is the dominant numerical piece. We can now check the goodness of this kind of naive factorization formula for QCD and electroweak corrections. And just to try to improve on this is, so here you're losing, so that you have this difference between the blue, and this is the order alpha alpha s, and this is just the naive term. And this difference is that you don't have really all the kinematics of the photon or the correctly in this then you just use the k factor for the electroweak correction. So they improved on this by not just multiplying this with a k factor, but take the analog QCD prediction, and then that's what they, many of the existing tools do, and just add on a multiple photon from a multiple photon description, the order alpha photon, for instance. So that would be how it looks like for the structure function approach. You can do this with photos. You can do this with the YFS description. So here you get some of the kinematics of the photon right again, and then you have the blue is now NLO alpha S is photos, versus the red, the exact, and the green is the structure function, and there is an uncertainty attached to it from this choice of this here from the structure function about. So you can also, and here you see now the blue and the red compared to when you now have more information about the kinematics of the photon included as well. So the important message, you now have the tool to study how good is the approximation we used so far, at least for order alpha alpha f correction. And then finally in this paper, they also try to understand, okay, how much does it matter? So the difference between the naive ansatz and the full calculation, how much does it shift the W mass? And they get fairly large shifts for the bare muons, but this is just the first look, and of course that should be done carefully together with the experimentalists, how much this really matters, because this tells us that the order alpha alpha s corrections not included in the naive factorization formula would shift the W mass by 14 MeV.
Should it be assessed on a sort of an absolute scale, or should it be assessed when looking at a difference between one of these mock z distributions? You know, a z that is made to look like a w, which might be.
We can assess.
Can you do it that way too?
We can just do a simple Monte Carlo study, but doing it carefully in the same way. So doing the template method with all this. Detector effects included, so that's what
okay,
I mean.
In this other is words, really we do the same thing with the same thing from Z's. A lot of the effects will.
Yeah, that would be also interesting to do. We are using this tool. Yeah, you're right. That would be interesting to try and then see how much these extra order alpha alpha s corrections.
Very stupid question. What is a bare muon? How is this defined?
Oh, this is just acceptance parts on the muon.
No.
No, this just the photon is so in the Tress lepton, it means that we have a cone of the lepton and the photon is part of the lepton, which you don't have from muons.
So essentially, no, the cone is zero.
That's right.
And I suppose one should do currents from muons as well.
One should do what?
Should one do currents from muons as well?
It depends on what the experimentalists tell us we should do, or what we. I mean, it's really muons are. Or their photons are an electromagnetic parameter. I don't really know if it makes sense.
And we often report rest muons as it results in terms of rest muons, because this is easier to interpret later on, right? I mean,
right.
We are still has certain cutoff at some point, right?
Right, yeah. But for muons, I understand the photon radiation is always more exclusive than for electrons. Right, so just because of the nature how you identify muons. Okay, so I just want to mention, I'm not showing any results for that, but just to mention that there is so much activity right now in how to get electroV corrections into also the QCD tools, and I just want to advertise some of the automated tools that now are available and are implemented. For instance, you can combine with Sherpa or AMC at NLO, and so there are more and more efforts in getting the electroV corrections into the QCD tools, pattern shower tools as well. So, and then of course, this is important then to study the combined effects of these two, of electroV and QCD corrections. So let me just, in my last few minutes, advertise for this new on the QCD side of predictions. So, what is now available since recently is a calculation of NNLO QCD combined with summation of large blocks in QT at next to maximum accuracy. And then this is just the effect of having this calculation available now and compared to other approximation next to the NNLO, NNLO alone, NNLO alone, NNLO. So here you see the percentage effect compared to the NNLA plus NNLA. And the red curve is maybe the most interesting one. So this is the difference between NLO accuracy with NLL and the NNLO. So that this effect then just is the shape change in PT, and then the red curve here is for PT missing PT, and then again if you extract the W mass from this, you have to see how much it shifts the W mass that you now have the NNLO and the corresponding resummation at this order. So this is the analytic with summation calculation, and now we can instead to compare with what has been done on the parton shower side. So now different ways of treating these large logarithms, and then again differences by comparing all these different tools can be then attributed to theoretical uncertainties. But that is what I would call then a theoretical uncertainty of state-of-the-art tools, so that you take really the best available tool and see by different comparing different implementations what are the uncertainties usually indicating the missing higher order corrections. So there are three different ways. First step towards now matching showers to NNNO, and I just want to advertise it here. I'm not really the expert, so Julia is here, Ye is here in our workshop, and also Stefan Hirsche. So I'd like have you to ask them more details. So this is, for instance, now available for Trajan, that you have NNNO accuracy and then matched to a shower. So the shower part is the VJ at NNOPS. And then you see here compared the NNOPS, so NNO matched the shower, is PCR8, compared to the green, which is the NNOPS matched to the for the PD of this year. And here is the comparison with data. So this is now available, and another way of matching is available in Sherpa. This is another merging scheme that is used to use the NLOBJ matched calculation, large QT and NLOPC accuracy in the zero jet bin. And then you see here PDC distribution compared with data. And this is compared with Atlas and CMS data. So because this deserves much more discussion, how this is done. This is state of the art now. And it can be, and the last one, before I say, is the implementation. It is Geneva shower. So here, they also provide predictions for the QT distribution for the Z. So now I've only seen it for the Z QT. And they have the NNO combined fixed order with some resummation of the Green test matched to PCR8, and then you see here the ratio of, so in blue is just the uncertainty of, so this is divided QT, so now they're comparing this divided QT, this is NNX and NNO, so jet, and the green is one order less, and the black curve is the Geneva PCR prediction compared to the blues with the DYQT. And these are the respective uncertainties of these predictions. So that is PDC. And then here you see a comparison for different values of alpha S. So all of these tools are now there, and they are in the process of being compared. So that is also part of the discussion of our workshop, and to understand the residual uncertainty. And you notice, again, this is QCD alone. Of course, for ideally, we want to add the electroweak to this as well, to discuss, to also study the combined electroweak and QCD effects. And I think then we have really the best tool available, and can then, from then on, start discussing the uncertainties. Yeah, Raja.
Just slide 24. Can you go back to slide 24?
Yeah.
Yes. It looks like the PTZ, the red band is so large. Is it understandable? Why do we have such a large uncertainty?
The uncertainties. Oh, on the right. Yeah, Julia. The uncertainties in the red band are just varying the usual.
These uncertainties of the interbrand. Certainly in the NNO, plus in the NNOPS, taking an envelope, and the barring you also have a scheme in the super. So it is quite conservative. What we don't like so much about this uncertainty is not a shrinking that you have. But no matter what we did, this happens. You see around 12 minutes. So even if we have been very conservative with this uncertainty, this happens.
you're also NLO in that region, so it doesn't look that
they are at higher NLO, yeah, and they're at low PT also. So, yeah, I think the acceptance is okay. When you have low PT, you expect it to increase again. At high PT, you are not old, so that's fine. It's a bit, I mean, I think I'm more uncomfortable with the smaller circuit PT around. So. But that's how it is.
Okay, thank you, Peter. So, so I just want to, because it's already late, I just want to advertise, I skip my final remarks, there are the slides, I said it already mostly, but I want to advertise what I just said, that we are actually working with a lot of the experts who are also in the room on comparing the state of the art and understanding the theoretical of in these predictions for the WMZ-QT, for the transverse mass, for the PT of the lepton, and how it translates then into non-circuit linear WMS. And this has been going on for a long time. So this is on. This is not easy to do, as you can imagine. And also there have been so much advancements, the recent ones I just showed you, which we wanted to include in the study. And this is just to tell you that it's really a study of the community that is concerned about getting a high precision for these predictions. So we are basically done with the producing the results and comparing the prospective predictions, and we're now trying to conclude, and that is a task we will do also here in the workshop, and everybody is welcome to contribute. And this is just a list of codes that are included in this study, and this includes a tuned comparison, so where we can have the, where we have the same corrections implemented, we should get the same results. So that was the first step, which took already a while. And then we're adding the more and more sophistication, higher order corrections, and trying to understand different implementations and their uncertainties. So that's where we are right now, and hopefully this will be a useful report, hopefully coming out during this workshop, so that we can discuss it also with participants of the experimental workshop. What we need to do going from there. This is certainly not the final answer, just the first step of having a comprehensive look at all the higher order tools. Thank you.
Comments?
Can you go back to this page 24 with the uncertainty comparison of the question will be, I guess, to Julia more than to you, but okay, so we have this large uncertainties. This is not acceptable for the WPT modeling, right? But can we, what can we do? Can we profile them? Can we reduce them to fit such that the result fits the Atlas and ZPT data? So what do you believe if we, as a result of this fit, would reduce, say, scale uncertainties, which are potentially large? Can we do that?
So
the band is based on matching scale or whatever, right? Yeah, so can we adjust it such that it fits our data and say this is our uncertainty on the scale, matching scale? Just in the purpose to do it for the W prediction.
So, I don't know. I would say that scale uncertainty is what it is.
Yeah, but it's unacceptable for the PC, for the WPT prediction, right? So you need to reduce it somewhere.
That because it's the same as you were saying what we saw at NLO matching already, right? So that you think you improve your prediction by matching to the shower, but then it's really hard to understand the uncertainties, and maybe you have larger uncertainties than you expected. So that is now, why should it be different? Now you see the same kind of thing at NLO matching, and I understand this is, these are first steps towards the NLO matching, and there's definitely room for discussion. And there are different methods, right? So you can also look at the uncertainties of these different methods.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's no good answer right now. But we can discuss it here with the experts. We have the experts here. And have an dedicated discussion on X order plus shower matching and then so
I'm going to squeeze it. It's late. Let's thank Doreen again.